Just again, you have to wave to me and smile. I got a rod. When the family were standing up here, it was almost like I got something in the spirit. And it was a very kind of a weird picture, because I don't know if you have had these swimming pools where you have in-ground pools, and then you have some of these pools that people maybe that cannot afford and in-ground pools have, that is above ground. And I used to have some of the friends that had one of those pools. And one of the things that we loved to do is that one of us was jump into that pool, and we starts to push the water. Another one of my friends jumped in and they said, let's get in on this. And in the beginning, it was just so hard. And now suddenly we're about two of us that start. And then somebody else, another friend came along, but now the water is moving, so it's becoming a little bit lighter for them. But they also jump in, and they are part of creating this movement. And the next person come in, and the movement just started. And I remember eventually as other people came in, they were just jumping in the pool. And what used to be, if I'm using my thing, is what used to be time, it just seems like it took a very long time to be able to see shift and changes. Now when it had speed, it just started to change. And other people were just jumping in the pool. And I think it was just, and then from this one small little pool, I suddenly started to see a bigger pool. And then there was pools everywhere. And I knew it was connected to both the move of God's Spirit, what He's doing in this place. It was connected to that you have a momentum. There is this movement that is taking place, and there is this family movement. But in the next moment, other places, and I saw this next generation, the new normal for them, they're able to jump right in this. It looked like that what somebody paid was very slow in the beginning. And what maybe used to take you 40 years suddenly takes 40 days because of the movement and the momentum that is taking place here. And it just started to overwhelm me when I realized that, wow, here's a little girl that is just have an opportunity to just jump right into this, where the supernatural is natural. To be able to be part of a family movement where in the old system you used to come here and you were maybe coming in here and just to see at the family table, but you didn't have a place at the family table. And now in the next moment you can just jump in and to be part of a family. And it doesn't take a whole lot of time, but you in that kind of environment, people are just going to start to get healed. Actually, the uniqueness and rarity is when people don't get healed. Because the new normal when this movement is. So I was just thinking about, we often talk about generational blessing, and that's what's taking place, and the different generations. So what I saw in this small here, I also saw in the large, for whole families, and this family revival, the glory city, which is actually a family. But it was a family movement, and in the next moment, but the people that are used to this movement coming into city, regions, and nation, because they're used to, come on, we're going to stir the water. And when they jumped in the water, where anyone that came into this water, there was salvation, it was freedom, it was healing, it was just, but it was also the joy. But in the middle of the pool, each time, suddenly I'm realizing Jesus is right there and He's having a blast moving around. And I remember how much fun we had. It was just like, hey, get in on this too. There's something that God is doing. So there's a movement and there's a family movement, but this movement has a momentum and something starts to take place. What used to seem like was very slow in the beginning, it has an incredible amount of speed. But the other fun part of that is to see these kids and the next generation, to see the inheritance of what they're going to be able to receive. So this generational blessing that is over this house and who you are and what you're carrying. And normally I wouldn't even share it publicly, but since it is your mom and papa of the house here, Tom and Catherine, but as I was worshiping there, it was Papa God just whispered in my ear, and He says, Leif, He said, Catherine, she is my friend. And it just suddenly hit me, then He said it again, hey, Leif. And I just looked over towards Catherine, and Papa God says, do you know this is my friend? And there is people on different levels, because I do, when God calls you a friend, there is something there with a friendship and a relationship. And you can be a son, and I have a son, but my son today is best friend. There's something that is taking place in the relationship. He says, I no longer call you servant, I call you a friend. So I'm just saying that even as God is right now, these covenantal relationship that God is doing, that if the enemy attacks one of us, he attacks all of us because we are family. Where the immune system of the family is so good. And I was sharing this at the opening of the leadership event that when I visited the Redwood Forest 2 months ago, it had been on my bucket list. I don't know if you're familiar with a bucket list, but it is a movie. But before I kick the bucket, here's all the things I'm going to see and do. And one of the things is I want to see the Redwood Forest. And so I flew to California and went up because I have a spiritual son and daughter in that area. And when they took me into Redwood Forest, yeah, it just overwhelmed me by looking up and see the giant trees. But then I realized the story is actually that a redwood, and they started to describe it as far as I went with a redwood forest and saw this huge giant trees that was around. But right underneath, the roots is not going very deep. They just move sideways. And what is actually happening, they just wrap themselves around some other roots and other roots. And that's kind of the picture that is here, that I'm seeing all these redwood forests that is coming up, both here in this room. But what is happening with the roots underneath, and this is what this love is doing towards one another, we start to connect with one another. And in one moment, when the wind comes against you, we just start to wrap stronger. And we starts to pull. And that's what makes the strength and the size. And then we start to wrap again here. She's going through something. We start to wrap. And this is happening all. There was this whole underground. But then in the next moment, as this family just starts to grow. And it's happening so rapidly. And that picture has just become so clear. And that was the second picture that's stirring. But it is also to see this incredible size. These incredible redwoods that are in you. But it's taking place. You're just learning when the wind is trying to hit you and hit your family and everything else. What you're learning to do at that moment is to get your very roots and coming in and say, no. And you start to pull from one another. And every time there is a wind that is trying to blow you over, you actually become stronger and higher. But the secret has to do with the roots that is underneath the ground. So even at this moment, let's just take a few moments and just, I want you just to wrap around somebody around. Let me make a chain here, because I think also that the enemy is going to know this is a family. This is a family, and it is a family that is on a mission together. So just hold on to those roots right now and just realizing that no matter what you're going through at this very moment on, it doesn't matter what wind, what is coming against you, this is going to be a cancer-free zone. This is going to be a chronic pain-free zone. But it is just, we're going to start to pull from one another. Father, I'm just even asking right now that your liquid love is just going into the very root system, and it's going to start to flow. That we're going to be so rooted and grounded in love that we're going to know how high and how deep and wide and long that love is. And it's going to start to flow into everybody that is around us. So I thank you, Father, for the roots of love that is being developed here in the ground, and even this afternoon and evening at this very moment. This perfect love is going to take away all fear. And it's going to move into our home. And in it, there's going to be such oil. And that's what it's saying. There's these roots of oil. It touches oil. And when it comes up there, you're going to burn. But you're going to burn brightly without burning out. Because you're burning oil of intimacy with your lover. So I'm just going to bless. I want you to hear it. I'm blessing the rest of your life. That was double for your trouble. I bless the rest of your life. You can rest in his covenant, and his promises over you are yes and amen. Can we give Jesus a good hand? Yeah. It has been an overwhelming experience for myself to come here. I know the difference when you're traveling across the world, and we've had a very busy season being on the front line in the Middle East. We went to Mozambique, Cuba. We've just been all over the world. And then when you're coming to a place, when you're leaving afterwards more refreshed than you're coming, then I know it is family. Let me say that again. When you're coming to a place, the more you give in, the more you have. Then I'm realizing that there's something that God is doing in regard to family. And this is family. And even Scotty and myself, I know his parents are here, and just wave here. Wow. I can't get away from the picture of family, what God is doing in this place. And that's why I'm very attracted. That's why I would kiss my wife and my children, leave America, come here in the middle of one of our busiest season. We're saying no to everything else in the world, and we're saying yes to be here because God believes in you, and he loves the way that you believe in him. Can I say that one more time? God believes in you, and he loves the way that you believe in him. Actually, I've never said that before, so I just liked it. I'm going to, Scotty, let's take note. Tonight, we're going to have a little special. It's going to be fun. We're going to enjoy it because I thought I was going to share this with the leaders when we first came together for the leaders. And as that day was there, we even had a cane. It didn't look as good as this one. But somebody made me a rod today, a real rod. And pretty much the question is that I'm going to ask you even today, what is it that you have in your hand? Right between your identity and destiny. In this journey, sometimes even because many of us, we've come out of Egypt, but what we are realizing, there is a promised land. How many of you know there is a promised land for you? How many of you know that in your life, there's a land of promises that God has for each one of us? Some of us think that promised land is when we get to heaven. We even use some of the biblical text, but the Israelites themselves experienced on earth a 7-year period of time where they went into this land where there was no longer any giants. The land had been given to them, but after the promised land was given, there were still 7 nations greater than them. They had to take the land that was already given. This city is a gift to be received, not the problem to be achieved. Australia is a promise, not the problem. But even when you have received this from God, now in the next moment, to be able to, what you have received, there is a responsibility for us to be able to receive what God has given to us. And this is an inheritance from God. So part of my journey today is in the middle of one of the biggest crises in Israel, and I believe it is a prophetic picture for us today. In the middle of their biggest crisis, in a moment of time, you can see Papa God, you can see the Father's heart. He is tired of seeing that God's people that were supposed to be head, they become tail. They were supposed actually to live in a promised land. God wanted them to experience him in his fullness and in his glory, but somehow over a period of time, they become slave to this world system. So the Israelites at this very moment, they are in Egypt. And in Egypt, Egypt is a very tough taskmaster. And Pharaoh, who controls this whole system, I mean, he is oppressing the people. And I know there's some people that say, we are starting to experience it in our school system, or we're experiencing here. Well, there is an opportunity right now because I'm hearing on the Father's heart, let my people go. It is whom the Son has freed that is free indeed. Jesus came to set us free. And he wants us to experience freedom, but he also wants to bring people into the promised land. His intention is not for us to live in the wilderness. His intention is not just to get us out of Egypt. He wants Egypt out of us. Can I say that one more time? God's intention is not just that you are supposed to be able to get out of Egypt and then live in the wilderness. He wants you to get into your promised land, the land of promises, the very place that Jesus paid for. That's what I was talking about, Jesus as the ultimate giant slayer. But there is a different perspective of different people, because when you're looking at that giant, 2 of the people are coming in and they are so excited, they're about to do backflips. Because they were giant slayers. They had a different perspective. While 10 of them came in and said, oh, it's difficult. Oh, Brother Lev, you don't understand. Australia is getting very dark. And I'm like, you live under an open heaven. Yeah. I just came from the Middle East. I can tell you what darkness looked like. The people in Australia are so open. They are so hungry. There's such a presence. And we just need to be aware of the time and the season that we're living in. The water is stirring. It is just to jump into the water. There's generation that has paid a price for the movement and the sound and the songs that is changing the world and the worship that is coming out of this place. So in this journey, and this is a lesson I'm just giving you where it came from, about 11 years ago, I was going through the biggest transition. Some of the things that I believe God is doing in people's life tonight, it was one of those paradigm changes in my life. I've never been the same as a result of it. But I went through a crisis where I was burned out. I was fatigued, mainly living for God, but also living from God. It is totally possible just to do God's work with God's way. But if you don't love yourself the way Papa God loves you, before long, you're no longer burning oil. You start to burn flesh. And that doesn't smell the same. Just ask your family. And I didn't realize it, and the deception was very deceiving. What I didn't realize was actually that I was not loving myself in the middle of receiving the love of Papa God and give it to the world, but I stopped. I hadn't learned the hard work of rest in the middle of it. And it seems like every time that I enter into my promise, my land of promises, there was another giant. But the giants was often on the inside. And they came in all kinds of sizes. I'm not going to go into rehearse, but I'm just giving you the background of this message. So on December 2nd, 2005, Papa Jack Taylor, he says, "Son, in this season, you're going to learn how to hold a rod. You're going to learn to throw down a rod. But then you're going to pick up a rod. But listen, son, I don't want you to pick it up too early because it can be a serpent." I had no clue what that meant. I was like, okay, that sounds good. I didn't even want to ask him because I was going to act a little spiritual. Like, yeah, well, that's a rod, yeah. But it didn't take a long time before from the sunshine, the anointing, the last time I ministered was in Dar es Salaam, somebody actually just stood in the shadow, Muslim behind me. And in the front of the people that was with me saw the limbs were straight and the creative miracle taking place. It was just tremendous. This Muslim was just, and when we were leaving that place, the whole place got wrecked, and I was walking through Dar es Salaam, the airport. People were just falling in the spirit, and I was afraid I was going to get arrested because the anointing was so strong. That was the problem. Because I did not realize that I'm not taking care of this vessel. And I was burning this oil, but for a 2-year period of time, what I have done, it was like an eagle. The eagle had started actually was soaring in the heavens, but then it started to lose a feather and lose a little bit. But you just, and for 2 years, you just worked harder. But when the anointing was there, you could continue because it was the wind that was working. But you didn't realize your feathers was getting out of alignment because I hadn't stopped. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not go weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Anyway, this story started my journey in the school of the rod. And this is also part of Moses' journey. If I had 1 hour with each one of you, and I ask you a question, I said, if you tell me which area in your life is it that the enemy has attacked you? And if you took the time and said, well, you do not understand. Since I was a child, I was rejected. And each one of you described the list of the area where the enemy has attacked you. After an hour and each one of you told me that, I can tell you what your destiny is. If you tell me where the serpent has bitten you, I can tell you also where you have the greatest authority. There's something in the opposite in the nature of God than what the enemy is doing. And you see this pattern in the life of Moses. Moses himself, he was called for such a time as this. You were predestined. You are here because there's a purpose for your life. You were one out of 50 million sperm cells that won the race. There's something unique, something valuable. You are a winner. You are an overcomer. You came in. Not just your conception was a miracle. You are a miracle. And because of who you are and what you carry, the enemy is doing everything to stop you from being you. And some of us end up as copies instead of originals. That's why I want to bless you to be you. Fully you. But in the middle of it, this is what's happening with Moses, in the life of Moses. In the life of Moses, now he is called to take actually and lead God's people out of Egypt and bring them into the promised land. When the enemy is picking up this, and I love this, this is my Norwegian sense of humor, so I hope you understand it in Australia. But I love this story because now, again, as the devil is coming in, he's picking up, something is taking place. That's what's happening in Australia right now, in the front of your eyes, and you can recognize the enemy is a little bit nervous. Why? Because of the destiny of this nation. Yeah. It is because the redemptive gift of Australia, the rest of the nation is wanted to see. Arise and shine, Australia, for your time has come. That because his destiny is very nervous about it. So don't be so focused about what he is doing. Focus on what your destiny is. That doesn't mean we are not going to be ignorant, but it's good to be able to recognize. So Moses is about 2 years old. Mama, I don't know if they were having child dedication, but Mama is taking and enjoying the little baby boy when the enemy goes to Pharaoh and says, Pharaoh, hey, we need to make sure to get rid of these baby boys. Why? Because that generation is carrying something. Why is it that the enemy is trying to stop even people to coming into this world? What is it the enemy is after? There's destiny. There's something that they're carrying. And he's so nervous about it. Why are they trying to kill the baby boys? Because Jesus, the Savior, is coming. You can see this pattern going on, and then here is my beautiful picture. But so here Mama decides, the way I'm going to save my boy, she go down to the Nile, put him in water, and the boy starts to float. And a little bit further down the Nile, there is this beautiful princess, and she is there just going down to enjoy the water. And she says, baby boy. She picks up the little baby boy and is like, wow, I got a baby boy here. This is beautiful. And she brings in, she doesn't know she's bringing in the presents. She doesn't know that she brings in destiny. She doesn't know that she carries in the deliverer. And she brings it into Pharaoh's home. So now Pharaoh, who's trying to, that is influenced by the kingdom of darkness, he is trying to kill all the baby boys. Now he has a baby boy. And he cannot dishonor his girl. But the thing, sometimes I feel so sorry for the devil. One time I almost prayed for him. Because I see it over and over again. It's like, oh, don't you know what you're up to? You are trying to stop that baby boy, but what you do not realizing, you are going to have to pay for the diaper bill. So Pharaoh is paying for the diaper bill. Pharaoh is paying for his education. Pharaoh is paying and training him about the culture of the darkness and this world. Pharaoh brings him in to give him all the insight that he needs to know. And then the journey begins. And are you ready for your journey to begin? And the scripture verses, just to make this meeting, is mainly taken out of Exodus 4, verse 1 to 5. That's kind of what we're going to focus on. But I'm just wanted to just have a family time and just share with you. So here we see this story, and Moses himself, as I'm saying, he grows up in Pharaoh's home. He grows up in a different system. He grows up in the kingdom of darkness. He knows everything about it. That's the problem. He knows everything about it to be qualified. After 40 years in the school of Pharaoh, finally Moses is about to get ordained. But the only problem, the first day of his ordination, because he's learning how to be a lion, because he feels the injustice, he can recognize what's going on. The first day of his ordination, do you know what he does? He kills somebody. He kills an Egyptian. He gets so mad, by the way, because now he can recognize, he starts to feel the injustice towards his people. When he sees that, at that moment, he recognizes something. And he becomes a lion because he has not yet become a lamb. And that next day, there's two of his brothers fighting, and they coming up, you don't have any authority, because are you going to do to us what you did? And they start a whole new journey in his life. Moses, at this moment, he moves into fear. He goes into the wilderness, and now we're about to start our journey. Moses himself ends up in the wilderness. And for the next 40 years, he ends up as a shepherd, as a shepherd's boy. So I want us to capture this, because this is a beautiful, beautiful journey. And now we're going into the text. Now, 40 years has gone. First 40 years, he gets qualified. Then it takes another 40 years for him to get disqualified. That's how you become qualified. Could I say that one more time? It takes about 40 years for Moses to go into school to learn everything that he needs to know. But it takes him another 40 years to know what he don't know. And when he don't know what he don't know, that's when he know what he's supposed to. And that is, I know nothing. And God says, good, now we can begin. It takes 40 years to get Moses out of Egypt, but it takes another 40 years to get Egypt out of Moses. I have to say that one more time. It took 40 years to get Moses out of Egypt, but it took another 40 years to get Egypt out of Moses. And then this beautiful journey began. And now is where we're heading in Moses and Exodus 3. He has an incredible burning bush experience. And after this encounter, and that's what we're this whole week and having this incredible encounter, beloved. And through this encounter, when he recognized who he is, he struggled with. He's about to have this major shift. He starts to focus on what he is not instead of who God is. But he starts this whole transformation, and Moses comes up with all the excuses and all of the reason that he is not qualified. And God goes in after this encounter. Now we are just moving very quickly into Exodus 4, and he's verse 1 to 5. And that's when you see the picture, even if you have this on the screen. Then God comes in, and now we're about to start your school and your journey. And I believe there's something that changed my life. And this is a life message. God comes to Moses because Moses says, God, whoa. And he stutters by now. God, you don't understand, but what am I going to say to Pharaoh? What, 3 million slaves and Jews, and you saying I'm supposed to take those 3 million? Pharaoh is not going to let him go. He's going to be, and what am I going to tell God's people? And God says, just tell them, I am, have sent you. God, that's not even very good grammar. I am have sent me. This doesn't help my confidence. I am. So you mean I'm going to go to 3 million slaves and tell them, hey, guys, I am have sent me. But if you capture this, it's going to change your life forever. I am have sent you. I am. You are what is the only question. When you hear the I am, if you capture the I am, you will also capture the you are. If you capture the you are, Australia, your family, and the people around you will capture the he is. Because God says, I am. You are what? I am. I am your healer. I am your provider. I am your strength. I am your sufficiency. I am your freedom. I am your authority. I am. You are. You are my papa. You are my father. You are love. You are peace. You are my joy. You are my freedom. You are my sufficiency. You are. And the people are, he is. He's a big God. He is a deliverer. He is. The world is about to be changed. Are you getting it? So let's be ready. So the question is, what do you have in your hand? So God goes to Moses and says, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And this is the question to each one of you. What do you have in your hand? Somebody said, well, I got a ministry. Okay. Is it your ministry or my ministry? Well, I got a business. Is it a kingdom business? Is it his business or is it business? So Moses is looking at the rod. God, I got a rod. That's an identity. It's a shepherd's rod. Who are you, Moses? That's the question. Who are you? And that's the question to each one of us. Who are you? Who is actually Joe? Who are you, Daniel? Well, I'm the executive pastor. I know that's what you do, but who are you? Because if you capture the I am and capture the you are, the people around you will say, he is. But he says, I'm a shepherd. And by the way, this is a shepherd's rod. This is my protection. This is my provision. My occupation for the last 4 years has taken well care of me. And he just goes on and on and on. And God says, Moses, do you see this? This is your identity. This is your provision. This is your protection. This is everything, isn't it? He said, yes, God. And I'm okay with it. I mean, this. I'm into radiology. The logic of the rod. I mean, this has been with me for 40 years. I've been carving on there when enemy was attacking, I had a rod. No matter what was going on, I had a rod. This has been with me for 40 years. And I can see God, well, I know. But God, and God said, excuse me, Moses, but I want you to lay it down. But God, don't you understand? I mean, it's retirement. Excuse me, lay it. But God, this was, I didn't realize 11 years ago. But I got a ministry. It's a worldwide ministry. All these people in Africa, they depend on me. We send a check all over the world. I need to keep these things going. Excuse me, life, what do you have in your hand? God, I don't have the time to talk about a rod. I'm talking about... And before you know it, oh, it's your ministry, life. Okay. Because you have your burden, your oppression. Oh, wow. Well, then it's time to lay it down then. Listen, and here's one of the kingdom principle. You can be entrusted with anything that you are free from. When you do not need it, you can be entrusted with it. So I didn't realize, Leif, what do you have in your hand? I got a beautiful wife. I got children. And I got ministry. I got mission. We have the nation. 22 now. All this pressure. And then having the joy 11 years ago. It was not voluntary. Papa Jack, I remember the school of the rod. And you're going to remember the school of the rod tonight. And this is going to become one of the things. It's not a one-time deal. It's going to be a life thing. As soon as you feel the pressure, you're going to lay it down. And then you're going to pick up his pleasure. The very rod of God. That's the identity. That's the intimacy. That's your inheritance. And that's your destiny. So here we start the journey, and then we're going to look at your journey, and then we activate it. So Moses comes in, what do you have in your hand? And then God says, lay it down, put it down. And Moses is holding up. This is his last 40 years. This is his life. This is his identity. This is everything. When he lays it down, he steps back. Scotty took us to a place where my wife and I, last time we were in Australia, we found out that 8 of the world's most poisonous serpents lives in Australia. And I was thinking, why didn't anybody tell me that before I came to Australia the first time? I am a Norwegian. I don't know about poisonous serpents. But what happened with this rod became a serpent. And I do not even realize even the things that God has given me, even until I just become free from it on a regular basis, that comes out and it becomes his. You don't need to have any in it when you can lay down the any of the poisonous nature that even this whole world system can bring in and constantly just get it out and then pick up something, and it is God's rod. It is his authority. Be careful, this kind of a thinking can lead to dancing, so be careful, Israel. Moses steps back, and it becomes a serpent. It becomes his instead of, and Moses stepped back, and God eventually said, now I need for you. Do you see that one? I want you to pick it up. And when you do, I want you to pick it up after the lesser end. I am a Norwegian. I don't know much about serpents. But if I were to pick up a serpent, and you have to help me, Australian, forgive my ignorance. If serpents have ears, I don't even know that. I would go and find the ears, and behind the ears, that's what I've watched on television, you. But God says, I want you to pick it up after the tail. And I could say, but God, you don't understand. This is poisonous. I know I've been a shepherd for all this time. Pick it up, Moses. And when Moses picks it up, something changes its the very nature. Not just of the rod, but of Moses. Something is totally transformed by him. So in the next moment, Moses is holding up the rod of God. He's holding up God's ability. He's holding up God's authority. As long as you're holding up that, light penetrates darkness. Love penetrates fear. Because when you're looking at a rod, it is his love. It is his joy. It is his peace. It is his presence. It is his authority. It is his healing. And that's it will just eat up anything that the enemy has had. So Moses started this beautiful journey in life. It's like, wow, I got you. I got your presence. I got your peace. I got your joy. I got your freedom. I got you. Now we can begin. And then Moses, we know the story. He goes to Pharaoh and this whole thing starts to take place. 3 million Jews, if you believe that, if you're taking care of 1,000 people, he has 3 million sheep. He's learned a lot about sheep, but you have 3 million whining and they're complaining. And it reminds me about the guy that came to the doctor and just said, "Doctor, please help me. My whole body is hurting. So my leg, there's just this cramp all the time. And my stomach is like it's burning. And I'm a road recover. And the doctor said, "Stop for a moment. Tell me what's going on." "I just told you what's going on. It's everywhere." "Okay, stop," the doctor says. "Take your finger, and I want you just to put your finger where it hurts. Put your finger on your head. Oh, my head is hurting. I'll put it in your, my ear. Oh, I hear that ringing. Oh, I put it on your knee. Oh, my knee." And the doctor says, "Well, I know exactly what your problem is. Your dislocated finger." Sometimes we think all of these things are the problem. It is not the problem. Just lay it down. Throw down your problems. Become free and pick up his promise. Throw down your pressure. I just lay down. What is on your pressure list, your most pressure list? Lay down. Be free from it. Because when you lay down, all that goes out of it. And then pick up his pleasure. Papa. In the middle of the storm, I have peace because I got you. You are my peace. You are my presence. The story of this, a few years later, Paul Yaddo and a few other people, they went with me to a place where there was a lot of radicals. 22,000 people was in this meeting. And in one moment, there was 500-600 of them. There was radical that came towards us that was about to attack. And I remember that voice. Less than 15 seconds, you have several hundred people are coming to kill you. What are you supposed to do? And then I remember Papa Jack. "Son, what do you have in your hand?" And if I hadn't learned about the rod, I wouldn't have been here today. At that moment, right away, I said, "I got you. I got your peace. I got your presence." Just something I received. I recognize who he is and who I was. And we have the video of that right before the attack was happening. Shoom, people, they started to dance in the spirit and worship. So these radical Muslims, you can see their faces are glowing. The environment changed because that's what's happened here. He changes the environment. So this is what happened. "God, we have this problem. 3 minutes." And God says, "Excuse me, Moses, what's your problem?" "God, I just told you what the problem is." And then finally comes it. "What do you have in your hand?" "But God, we don't have the time to talk radiology. 3 million of them, they are..." And we've all been there on a daily basis where there's things that comes in our life. "What do you have in your hand?" "God, I got a rod." "Okay, what kind of a rod do you have?" "I got your rod. I got your promise. I got your peace. I got your joy. I got your freedom. I got your power. I got your authority. I got your love, your perfect love that's taken away all fear. I got you." "Moses, what was your problem?" "God, I don't have a problem." "God, you have a problem. You know those 3 million people of yours?" "It's not mine. It's yours. You are my provider. You are my sufficiency. God says, I am. I say, you are." And the atmosphere around us would change and say, "He is. He's a good God. He's a loving God." Whoa! There's freedom. Give you one more example, and then we're about to get rid of some things in your life because you don't have to carry it. Just become free from it and watch what God is going to do, because you're going to be entrusted with his ability, with his wisdom, with his power, with his love. Are you okay? Can we do one more? One more. "Moses, have another problem." "God, this time, caught between the rock and the hard place. Red Sea in the front of him and behind him, the whole army of Pharaoh is coming to kill." And Moses is there. "And this time, God, we don't have the time to do anything. We're about to die. They're telling me what's happening. I got a call. Stage 4 cancer. I got a call this week when I come here. They're killing us. 26 people just got killed in Pakistan." Every single time. And at that moment, I just lean back. "Leif, what do you have in your hand?" I got you. I got your peace that passes all understanding. I got your joy in the middle of the sorrow. I got your perfect love that takes away all fear. I got you. And then Moses, he takes this rod into the Red Sea, opens it up. The whole people goes through. Get in on the other side. He closes it. And I'm going to have to finish this very quickly. The last picture, because this is part of what I prophetically wanted to end this service with. But even doing God's work, God's way in Australia, intercessors has been praying. The people in the conference has been serving. The worship team so phenomenally has been leading us into the glory realm and into the presence. But even doing that, our arms starts to get tired. There was a season where your anointing, your giftings, your power, and all of the things that came from God was enough. But in this season, something has changed. It is no longer just about individual people with a rod. It's about the family. And at this time, Moses' arms gets tired. When it gets tired for doing God's work, God's way with God's power, it gets tired. Then he need somebody else to come to lift and hold up the rod of God for him. And we're going to start to do that for one another. When you are tired, we're coming in and, whoa, we start to lift up. Somebody have an attack in the family and other people are coming, we start to. And the environment will start to change over your families, over your finances. Then somebody else is coming, you want to. I'm sensing that. Let me help you. And a covenantal relationship. And then one church is coming in and the other one comes on the other side. Somebody else, let's hold up that revival for you. Yeah. And somebody else has a rod and they have a differentness. And you will start to see the environment changing. And in Australia, as long as we're holding up the rod of God, you're going to see light penetrate darkness. Yeah. Are you okay? Let's stand to our feet, and it's first time individual. A couple of practical things I want you to think about. Any pressure in your life at this moment on, because you're going to lay it down. This is the beautiful message of this house. But I know that for so many of us, including myself, that in a moment I've had these breakthroughs, and I've seen how God took care of 3 million people, and next moment I've come on the other side. Before I know it, I didn't realize my arm starts to get tired. And it's part of what you have done for me these days. I came to help Catherine and Tom and says, we believe in you. I believe in you, not just me, but all of our family around the wall. I'm coming over here and says, don't, just hold it up. We're coming here to help you to hold up the prophetic words over you. You are a glory city church. And there's going to be a tipping point to that city that's going to create the move of God's Spirit into other cities. So let me help you to hold up the rod of God. Let the world know that I'm coming here because I believe. And then I realize I'm helping to hold up the rod of God. My rod goes up. Because you guys are helping me to hold up the rod of God. And then I realize that I have something in my life that is producing pressure. And then last night I laid it at the altar. Today, there's something I just laid at the altar. And we're not talking about, I do not know who I am. I just don't want to have the pressure. When Jesus took that pressure, so I could have his pleasure. So positionally, I knew what I had. But I'm experiencing, practically speaking, on a daily basis to see who I am. Because I see who he is. Are you okay? I want you just to think for a few moments. What do you have in your hand? You maybe say, I have a prodigal son. Somebody just recently, on the fourth row, I never forgot it, had a son for 20 years. Drug addiction, bipolar. We were just at that moment in the service for 20 years. And for 10 years, they hadn't even seen the boy, the mom. But for 20 years, he's been addicted. But as mama just laid down the burden and the pressure, said, that boy belongs to you. He's your promise. We are a covenant-keeping family. This family, it is not just for me. It's for the whole house is saved. The boy walks into the service and walk up to his mom. His mind is totally flipped out. But at that moment, something hits him that comes to the church service, comes up and meets his mama, and they weep. What do you have in your hand? Can we just hold out our hands? And all we're doing just right now, and what do you have? I'm tired. I am your rest. I need healing. I just feel the pain. I am your healer. So now I want you, with your mind, this is very important. I want you just to thinking about, what is it there? What? Because the Holy Spirit is the one. Leif, what do you carry right now? Well, I'm just sensing even on the calendar, it's such a busyness is in front of me. And whoa, I don't want to limp through this. I just need some rest. And he says, just come to me, Leif. That was part of my thing right now. I just sensing that, whoa, tomorrow I'm going to do it. What do you have in your hand? People that are watching online, I want you also to think about it. Let me just make sure. Can everyone here just wave if you have something? His church, his business, his Australia belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. It's such a freedom. This is such a freedom for me. 11 years. Leif, as soon as I felt it, I knew it. Rod. Whoa. Okay, at this very moment, can you see it? Visualize it. If you had a rod right now, and you have that rod, and if that's your family, if that's your business, if that's, wow, even the very calling and things is not happening. I want you, 1, 2, 3, just throw it down. Just lay that down and take a little step back. And just experiencing the freedom. Experiencing his rest. Just experiencing his love flowing. And then in the next moment, now when you are resting, breathe in, roll your shoulders back, breathe out. And then he says, son, daughter, do you see that? I want you now to pick it up. Now I want you to lean forward and I want you to pick up. And I want you to hold up. And normally what I do is when we have, normally if the people need healing, then other people come and bring just the healer and hold up the healer over you. And people that need peace, the shalom is coming over you. The people that are in the middle of war, they suddenly see Jehovah Saba. Now you're going to recognize the Lord, your warrior, is getting to war for you right now. No matter what your name is, God has a name for your giant at this moment. And at this moment, he's about to reveal who he is. And your response back in worship is, you are, you are. You are, wow, you are. Well, Jennifer, my wife, Leif Emmanuel, Lila, Courtney, Catherine. Whoa, I'm holding up your covenant blessing. Your promises are my family. You are my provider. You are my sufficiency. You are my abundance. You are.